Anyway, last week we looked at Matthew and kind of started out with the our whole idea is Matthew goes through his account of the birth of Jesus, and he started in the days of Herod the king. And we kind of talked about the implications of that, that even though we have, I love these songs, I really do, but even though I thought not all was so calm and not all was so bright that night. There was pain and trouble in the middle of the greatest provision that God would ever provide. So anyway, as this week we're going to look at Luke. And 2012 years later, we're here at another Christmas. We made it through 12, right? That was a big event, supposedly, with, I saw it on TV with the Church of, I forget, Ron Parsley. They had a big thing. Anyway, and we made it through yesterday, right? Was the 21st yesterday? Friday. We made it through that. I think that's one of, I don't know. So we made it. And I started thinking about, as we sing these songs, and I started to think about the spirit of Christmas and what that is. And I'm going to get to that at the very end. Because as we read, and I also, I've been listening to a bunch of different sermons and reading commentaries on Christmas. And it's like preachers want to become real profound and creative at Christmas time, because you've probably heard this story before, right? You've probably read it before. So today, what I'm going to do is we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of the donkey. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Has anybody ever heard Jack Hayford? Has anybody heard him? He has a whole, I mean, if you Google it, there are some really cool sermons about Christmas. He has this whole thing about the history of the tree and the lights and the candy cane and all that it meant, the green and the, I mean, there's a whole, and St. Nicholas and what his history was. So if you really want to know and get in a conversation about the traditions of Christmas, he has a good one. John Ortberg, I listened to him. He had one on what if Jesus had never come. And he goes through this whole history of there'd be, no Salvation Army, no this, no that, no. I mean, it changed the world if you think about what happened that day. So there are real creative looks at the Christmas story. But what I would like to do is really just look at simply two verses, and we're gonna and what surrounds those two verses, because there's four groups of people. I do a little thing. I wish I had a. I'm gonna try to get a marker board up here. So in the center of this are these two verses, and it's amazing that this event that is so dramatic is contained in two very simple verses. And then we're going to look at the four groups that kind of surround that. Last week, if you remember, we had there were four dreams, three dreams to Joseph, one dream to the Magi. This week, there's three visitations of the angel Gabriel. Okay, and it's just interesting how Luke and Matthew have portrayed this story or these events. So anyway, if you think about that, think about these two verses, and I'm going to read them. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, I know there's a lot more to it than this, but these are the two verses. When you think about how simple this is on the story of what happened that night, Luke writes, and it's almost like an understatement. And it came about that while they were there, this is Mary and Joseph, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Stuff we have heard every Christmas, and when you think about two, I don't know how many words that is, but not many, that Luke records this simple, or this unbelievable event in two simple verses. It was time for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I've heard so many stories about no room for the inn. I just heard a recent one that talked about how, I don't know. We don't want to overexplain this. these two simple verses of an event that changed the world. And what I want to look at is the kind of these four groups of people that are before and after this event. And let me read the first four verses of Luke. And I just read I was reading a commentary by a real liberal guy, and he basically calls this a myth. I guess that's kind of like the newest language in a lot of, not new, I mean, they have kind of redefined myth. But the minute I read it, this was like, it grated on me. Because when you just simply read this, don't read into it, don't overthink it, just read what it says. I've been doing this for a couple weeks, and it's amazing to me what I've missed. Inasmuch, this is Luke writing, inasmuch as many have undertaken to complete an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us. It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in a consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so you might know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. These are real events. These are real people. These were eyewitnesses. Now, and you got to understand, this was, I'm not sure how long, 60 years. I mean, it was probably 30 or 40 years after this had all happened. So this is hindsight, you know. And we have hindsight. I mean, with 2,000 years of looking back at this, okay? So you got to kind of, in one sense, don't fall asleep, but shut your brain off and just think about reading this for the first time. You know, think about Luke going to these eyewitnesses and saying, man, I got to find Zacharias. Or I got to find people that knew Zacharias and saw this happen. I got to go talk to Mary. See what it was like. What did Joseph think? So that, think about him with the microphone, you know, going up and saying, Zacharias, what happened in there? Because really, let me read verses 8 through 17. This is Zacharias. And again, this is stuff you're familiar with. But understand, this was a private event. You know, it became public when he walked out. But this was between him and God, or him and Gabriel. Let me read verses 8 through 17. It talks about Zacharias and Elizabeth, or, and his wife Elizabeth was barren. And it says, now it came about while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. This was like, to them looking around, they literally cast lots. Well, it's your turn, Zacharias. Okay. I mean, it's kind of a privilege. And I don't want to get into, you know, how much God controls of this thing. But Zacharias, you know, I get to say, Zacharias could have said, nah, no, I'm tired. Let's cast lots again. You know, but he didn't. You know, he went into the temple. And it says, the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So he goes into the temple, in verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. I can just picture Luke interviewing Zacharias. What was it like? Zacharias would not forget this. You know, there's this altar right on the... Luke, you should have seen him. And Zacharias was troubled. At some of your versions in verse 12 ought to say terrified. Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. I just heard on the radio that was a commercial that said, do you ever sit around and does your heart start pounding like if you have an electrical problem in your heart, it can kind of race? And I thought, that's what was happening to Zacharias. You know, in there by himself, and all of a sudden, Gabriel's standing there. And this happens three times. This one little sentence happens three times in here. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So there's this whole thing, and this goes through this whole story. There's this unbelievable fear and trembling. And then Gabriel says, "Now your prayer is answered. God heard it. God heard it. And Elizabeth will bear a son. And there's going to be joy and gladness. And people rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the spirit, in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet while in his mother's womb. And he will..." Listen to this. I mean, I kind of miss these things. Because we focus so much about Mary and Joseph and what was happening there. And what was it like that... it's amazing that Luke doesn't tell you more about what happened with the manger and what it was like and what it smelled like. But he goes into a lot of detail here. He says, "Because John will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God." You know, looking back, when this event happened, Zacharias had no idea what was about to happen. You know, we know that he's going to bring, you know, Jesus is coming next. We know that. In this, he's like, "Your son is going to turn back the many sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children." You talk about something that society needs. I'm going to do another commercial because this is... I got into a conversation with Joshua, who's always out there, on making marijuana legal. And I was like, "Joshua, there's bigger issues in life. You know, what will the..." And I said, "What will this do to the families of this country?" And I read this verse. I'm like, and this Gabriel saying to Zechariah, "Your son is going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children." Wow. Wouldn't that be nice to be said about you? "In the disobedient to an attitude of righteousness, so as to make ready the people prepared for the Lord." So there, I mean, how many times have you read that? And all of a sudden you read, this guy's going to, my son, no wonder he's going to be rejoicing. People are going to turn back to the Lord their God. Sons are going to turn, and fathers are going to get turned back to each other. You know, and when you hear in our society today what the problems are, and you're like, half the kids in this country are growing up without dads. And I was a dad, and there's enough guilt with parenthood, I know that. And you can't ever, you know, feel like, "I'm done, you know. Great job." But then at the... this whole thing of fear and joy and gladness and turning back people to the Lord. This shows that Zacharias is just like me and you. This wasn't some highfalutin, super righteous guy. Because then he goes, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain?" Now, because I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Come on. Now, anyway, and you know what happens. Gabriel says, the angel answered and said, "Dude, I'm Gabriel." You know, I mean, it's really kind of funny. He says, "I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news." And you're questioning it? You ever go, am I the only one in this room that ever goes, "God, are you sure?" You can forgive that? Just like, anyway, you know what happens. He can't talk. And when I think about, when I wrote this down, I said, when Gabriel says back to him, you know, or Gabriel says, well, how do I know for sure? And Gabriel goes, duh. You know, and then he can't talk. Duh. You know, anyway, so it's kind of cool. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great event. And you just are like, these guys don't know what's coming. You know, Luke is getting this information after it all happened and said, tell me the story. Tell me the old, old story. What happened in there? And then I'm going to jump down to Mary and Joseph. And now this is the announcement of the son. I'm going to read verses 26 through 30. And now the sixth month of it, I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth. And again, Luke is writing this. You know, and I, you know, it's inspired. I know that. But it's just so simple. But, you know, I would have embellished this. You know, I would have tried to, you know. In the sixth, it says, Gabriel came to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Joseph is only mentioned in Luke a couple times. It's kind of interesting. His name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Well, let me keep reading. But she was greatly troubled with this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation is that might be? What would you do if God came up to you and said, hail, Mary, favored one? I mean, God is telling us something here. His view, not just, and I know this was Mary, and I know, you know, sometimes we get, in evangelicalism, we kind of shy away from Mary because we don't want to worship her and stuff. But this was a big deal, you know. This was a big deal. But she was greatly troubled, just like Zacharias. You know, this is, seeing a Gabriel ain't easy. You know, sometimes we lie like him. Just if he walked in here, it would be really cool and we'd have a lot more faith. Well, she didn't. Zacharias and her were both troubled. And then verse 30, it's the same thing that Gabriel said to Zacharias. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And I, you know, sometimes I know I shouldn't watch the certain channels on, and they talk about, well, if you really want the favor of God, send me, you know, a double portion. If you really want favor with God, this is what you need to do. Had Mary done anything yet? Had Zacharias done anything yet? You are favored. You have found favor with God. What a statement. That would have to knock her off her feet. Me? She, you know, some people say she was 14, 13, 14 years old. I don't have enough time to get favor with God. And behold, you will conceive. And now, this is really interesting because he goes on. He said, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. I don't want to make conjecture out of this, but look at, you know, he's telling her something about her son that Zacharias just heard about his son. Different, but. And I don't know if she wasn't listening, but look what her answer is. And Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be? I'm a virgin. It's almost like she jumps back to this whole story. You know, you're going to conceive. And it's like she missed this. You know, Can you imagine being a 14-year-old girl and being told you're going to have a baby? And you didn't work on that at all? I mean, I really think when you look at this and then she gets back to that, it's like she almost didn't hear it. She didn't say, my son will do this? How can this be? I'm a virgin. I can't be pregnant. Anyway, and he said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. That's what she is saying to Gabriel. This can't happen. This is impossible. And Gabriel said, look, you might have the wrong view of who God is. Because nothing is impossible with him. And, in the midst of this story, and then Mary just, as a kind of in contrast to what Zechariah said, Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And I don't want to, I've gone through this question with Diane all the time. It's kind of a male chauvinist pig thing. I said, sometimes it seems like women have an easier time living by faith. Now, I can't prove that, but this seems to prove it, I don't know what it is, because it's like I talked to her, I said, you don't ever get, like nervous about this, or, no, I just kind of trust them, and I'm like, give me some of that, that's what Zacharias is like, how can I know this for certain, come on, and then Mary goes, okay. I don't get it, but okay. It's like, we prayed earlier. There's so much of our life that we don't get. That God just wants us to say, okay. I don't get the timing of this. I don't understand. And Gabriel is saying, trust him. You got to understand what God is about to do. And then, what did I just read? 1 through, yeah. Verse 38, she believes him. Gabriel tells him what her son will do. And then there's this, and we're going to get back to this. In 1 and 2 Samuel, there's a song in the beginning. And there's a song at the end of David. Well, a lot of people equate these songs together. And this was, so at the end of this, Mary, she goes to see Elizabeth. And it's kind of interesting because they kind of, when she goes to Elizabeth, and again, if you picture this, we've seen, maybe you've seen it on TV or something. And here's Mary coming up, and here's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth goes, this is so cool, you're pregnant. She's there to hide. She was there to hide this, not to tell everybody. She cried out with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The picture of it in my mind is just like, how cool is this? We're just going to let it out there. And then Mary sings this song. I don't know if she sung it or... And this is loaded. I'm just going to read it. It's loaded with Old Testament theology. My soul exalts... This reminds me of a verse in 1 Peter where it says, return to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. I want to get into this where it talks about our enemies. The enemy of our soul wants us to doubt and fear and kill us. the shepherd of our soul, wants to build us up to say, you are mine. You are a favored person. My soul exalts in the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. He has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. For he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant. In remembrance of his mercy, he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. She didn't sing a song about her. Man, am I favored. It wasn't about her. It was about her God and what he has done. And she's looking back, all the way back to Abraham. Think how God has provided for us. That's what she's saying. And she talks about humility. There's this idea of man being humble or proud and what God does to them. And then she looks at God and says, the Mighty One and his mercy and mighty deeds, and he helps and he remembers. I need to be reminded of that's our God. And then, I'm not going to be able to finish on this, doggone it. Then the advent of John, and then when Zacharias, John is born, he sings his song. And again, I'm just going to, what he talks about and the words he uses, there's redemption and salvation and mercy and God remembering and deliverance from our enemies and forgiveness of our sins. Let me read just verse, the last 78. Because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sun rise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Zacharias knows there's dark times. He knows there's the shadow of death, but God will guide our path. And then, and just read that song. I mean, it talks about the forgiveness, verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. This was before, you know, they knew what was about to happen. And then the second chapter is, starts out with, and I know you know the story when the shepherd, the Mary, or Jesus is born in verses 6 and 7, those two simple verses. So jump down to chapter or verse 9, verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord, it doesn't say Gabriel, it says the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There's several things in there. Number one, for all people. You know, the Jews prior to, I'm thinking most of them thought that the Savior was for them. And didn't we sing a song in one of the songs? The King of what? Israel. That's what he got in trouble for, because that's what Herod wanted to be, the King of Israel. But now, he shall be for all people. That's us sitting here. I'm not a Jew. You're not. Verse 18. And all who heard, and the shepherds go and tell, and all who heard it wondered at the things that they were told them by the shepherd. Did they just go, oh, this is great, an angel came and told us, we are going to believe this. Verse 18, and all who wondered at these things, and all who heard it wondered at the things that were told by the shepherds. They were out in the field, it might have been a meteor shower, it might have, they wondered, what? Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Not wondering, thinking, wow. There ought to be times, and I know Christmas has great memories in there, but at the same time, there are sad memories. But just ponder these things. Take time. We've already done our Christmas, so we're off the hook. But and we do we did all of our traditional stuff. Just get by yourself. All this stuff happened by themselves. Zacharias was by himself. Mary was by herself. Just get by yourself for 15 minutes and ponder. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger. The next thing is Simeon. I'm going way too long. But 8 days later, he gets circumcised. And this is another thing that Ortberg talked about. January 1st, the year started 8 days from his birth. I don't know. He talked about the whole calendar thing and how we got the calendar. It's kind of interesting. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. First is 8 days later. Just, you don't have to ponder that. It's just. And then look at, I want to jump around. This is, Simeon holds the baby and he goes, this is the one, I can now die. I can now die. God promised that I would see the Savior. And he sees him. And then he sings this song. Now the Lord, verse 29, you can let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. In light of a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He saw something that nobody else saw yet. This Savior wasn't just for Israel. This was for the Gentiles. That was kind of a curious thing in the Old Testament. They were supposed to, Abraham was supposed to, God would bless Abraham to bless the rest of the world. And then this is what I find really strange. This is hindsight. This is Mary, they're talking about what happened before the crucifixion. Okay, and that hasn't all happened yet. When Luke is interviewing, he said, what was it like before we knew about the cross? And look at verse 33. And this, his father, Jesus' father and mother, were amazed at these the things which were being said about him. Isn't she the one that just sang this song? Even back then, I'm not sure they got it. Angels came, talked to him, sang songs, and then they look at Simeon and are like, what? I'm amazed. And I wanted to, so at the end, kind of the spirit of What I think we ought to ponder are these songs and think about God's mighty deeds in two little verses. It was time for her to give birth, and she gave birth. that was a mighty deed. And God's mercy, and God's help, and God's remembrance. He does not just forget his promise. And when it's in Hebrews, God is not slow to, some men count slowness. And then ponder the words that were used in those songs: redemption, salvation, mercy, remembrance, deliverance, forgiveness of sins. That was before they ever, when they talked about that, that was before the cross, that the Gabriel came to them and said, this is what you're going to get: the forgiveness of sins. You know, and that ought to be, when we talk about the spirit of Christmas, whatever that is, it's who God is, and his faithfulness, and his gift, and his mercy. And John, what did they do with that letter? Oh, there it is. Here it is. This was two of the songs I talked about the other day. One was "How Should a King Come." This was "Mary, Did You Know?" And I think the answer to this is no. They didn't get it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? She was told. Not sure she really understood. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you delivered will soon deliver you. How could a 13 or 14-year-old girl really understand that? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. What a cool. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will walk again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? I'm not sure she got that. And we have 2,000 years to look back and go, wow. Let's pray. Father, as we, in a couple days, we're going to gather as families and again with some traditions and memories. And Father, as we do that, give us time. Individually, give us time to just sit and ponder what it really means. We get caught up, and I get caught up in the busyness, the shopping, the stuff that just draws our hearts away from just pondering that those two simple verses that changed the world forever and changed our relationship with you forever. Father, thanks for your goodness and your grace and your love for us in spite of us. In spite of us not understanding and questioning and still sinning. Father, thanks for your forgiveness. Thanks for your Son. Thanks for this time when we can celebrate what you did. for this world. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.